This is a HeadGum Podcast.
AG1. What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning, take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, standing 6'2", 294 pounds. He's backsliding a little from Nassau County, Long Island, the South Shore. It's
Johnny G, John Gabris, all you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine.
Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur is my dog, not my son or my brother. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, all the way from Great Neck, is it GNN or GNS? We'll get to it on the pod. It's comedian provocateur, Sarah Squirm.
Let her clear her throat.
101. We play your favorite oldies.
Z100. Thanks for tuning in to the Jingle Ball, hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
All right, it's me, Elvis Duran, and you're listening to the Jingle Ball. We've got Everclear coming up right after Everlast and right before Clear Last.
And afterwards, we will be having the Evanescence reunion.
What's up, Squirm? You got all your technology sorted out over there?
For the listeners at home, I can't really describe what's... I decided to use my friend's computer, who is a gamer. I'm looking at 3 monitors.
And none of them are me. I feel like I'm talking to, like, Terry Schiavo. She's just...
Hello?
Sarah's head is just off facing one specific direction.
Is she a Long Island legend, or is she just Long Island in spirit?
Terry Schiavo.
Doesn't she seem like a Long Island
who had, like, the feeding tube? She was Long Island in spirit, and that she was.
Doesn't she seem like a Long Island, like St. Francis Hospital? Like, there was definitely like an oil painting of her there.
I feel like she has to be from Long Island just because of how much she's in my mind.
I know.
All the specifics of my, I'm always like, dude, can you believe how many Italian ice places there are? And people are like, what? And I'm like, oh, I guess my, I'm really relating this to my childhood, which was a little different than other people's. I'm assuming.
My Catholic Midwestern boyfriend, I was like, dude, let's go get a water ice. He's like, oh, water ice? Yeah, I'm like a chocolate water ice. It's
I need a
like,
chocolate yeah. water. My wife is from Westchester and she thinks my accent's insane. Like when I'm like, I just want iced coffee. How fucking hard is it to get an iced coffee at fucking 6 a.m.?
Yo, bro, I'm trying to get an iced coffee from the fucking gas station.
The fucking Sitgo on fucking Hempstead Turnpike has the best goddamn cold brew in fucking Nassau.
It'll clean you right out. I can't afford a colonic, I'm uninsured, but I'll get a cold brew.
I highly recommend you get the Sitco on Hempstead Turnpike's cold brew, but you use the Hess on Old Country Road's toilet because they keep it way fucking better over there.
Dude, I was laying logs in the toilet last night that were the size of a Hess truck. You kidding me?
Putting the Hess truck in the Hess truck? It's the Hess logs bag.
And it's better than ever. Who is this for?
No one. That's, by the way, this can, editor's note, pull out Sarah saying, who is this for? And just put it at the top of every episode that airs from here on out. And the back 300. This is honestly for me. If I'm being 100% honest, this podcast is for me. It's super self-indulgent. I just meet people and go, hi, you're very funny. Do you want to talk to me? Can I talk to you about a topic I chose on my podcast, please?
And I'm and it's for me because I'm laughing.
It's for you because we have this cross-generational Strong Island bond.
I haven't been back since 2019.
I have not been back since 2019 either. I was supposed to go home for 2020 summer to Montauk, get a fucking hotel for a week. Dude. But now it's going to be August 2021 when your boy finally gets to Montauk.
Dude, you can't go boogie boarding in Montauk because they got bull sharks coming up. They got bull sharks in Montauk. You know
I'm up to
about?
My fucking neck in bull sharks out here at Ditch Plains. I got to go down to fucking East Hampton like some sort of fucking Jamoke.
Dude, I go to Nickerson Beach. I don't go balls deep in Nickerson Beach because I found out they got Man of War jellyfish floating
around. Yeah, you get one of those things on your fucking scrot, you're fucked, dude. You know how far away a fucking ambulance is when you're in the fucking Nicholson Beach, bro?
Dude, I saw Neil Young and Crazy Horse perform live at Jones Beach Amphitheater. My dad took so much salvia, he didn't remember the whole concert. We got funnel cake on the way out.
My favorite fucking, my first concert, my first like, not just being dragged along with my parents, was I saw Soul Asylum in like 1994 at Jones Beach Amphitheater.
My first concert was Alicia Keys at the Jones Beach Amphitheater.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pretty cool.
I saw Love Shack and B-52s and Blondie together at Jones Beach Amphitheater, and me and my buddy went with these women that we were friends with who happened to be stylists, hairstylists, and
amazing.
We were the only two straight people in like an entire section, and we only had like four gay kids in our high school, so we were just instantly flipped into an insane culture. We were like, oh, this rules. Everyone thought we were just a couple, and it was eye-opening.
I think the B-52s are a Long Island band, because that was the first, my first concert was Alicia Keys, and my first CD was a B-52 CD.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, because it's
your
like
car
everyone,
and seats about 20.
Right. Everyone dresses like Fran Fine. It's like everyone on Long Island is straight, but they look like the nanny. So they like the B-52s. Dude, I went to Filene's basement the other weekend with my grandma and I'm losing it.
My lacrosse coach and I went to the Source Mall to go to Nordstrom Rack, pick up fucking Wallaby boots, Clark's Wallabies, bringing them back.
I went to the Walt Whitman Mall and I picked up a couple of B-52 CDs from the Sam Goody in there. And let me tell you, fire.
Was Walt Whitman your mall?
Oh my God. What? I don't remember the names of anything anymore. I got My brain got wiped out from the past year.
Yeah, no, I know. You have that huge scar. You have that huge scar.
You had that huge perforation line across your temples. I could only imagine what happened there.
I unscrewed the top of my head and scooped out what was inside of an ice cream scooper.
Yeah, all because I saw this movie I hated, and then I accidentally scooped out all my memories of my family and my loved ones. But at least I don't remember that stupid-ass movie, Moonlight. It's like, whoa! Yeah, Roosevelt Field Mall was the mall. That was my mall as well.
Are you serious? Wait, I got my ears pierced at the Claire's there.
I got stabbed by a woman with a plastic toy knife in the chest. And she said, didn't your mother ever teach you not to stare? Because I was like, look, I was like 14 and she was like a 20-year-old like Jenny McCarthy archetype. And I just was like mesmerized as a kid. She had like a white... what are we calling these now? Wife eaters. That's
oh.
the...
okay. We call them white domestic emotional terrorists.
Right. She had like one of those on and like it was... And I was mesmerized and she came walking over to me and I just stood there like a little dude with fucking erection in my fucking rusty corduroy shorts and she comes over with this plastic big ass like Friday the 13th toy knife. And just pokes me in the chest with it like four times. It's like, did your mother teach you to shit? And so now I'm like a fucking peeping Tom and I have major issues. Like I can't get off unless I'm watching someone from a distance. That's all her fault.
And it's all her fault. And it was, you know what? And I'm not saying she was asking for it, but I'm just guessing that she was wearing a tank top that said BB. Remember the BB with the rhinestones stretched across her rock hard tits?
It was like, oh yeah. It was the generation of like, wearing a red or black bra underneath like a skin tight white t-shirt and just being like absolutely killing I mean now in 2021
did it draw blood?
In my pants. no I did not, but I was rattled. I was truly rattled, and now I have a thing for older women stabbing me in the chest.
I mean, kids can get mad. You know what? This is why I don't have kids. They're going to get messed up from literally anything. You're traumatized for the rest of your life because you were let loose in public.
Yeah. Well, because I was at the mall every weekend from like 12 through 16, just killing 5 hours with $18 in my pocket.
Like, ooh, $18 to get you breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Auntie Anne's. You know what I'm talking about?
Dude, it would be like bourbon chicken samples. Maybe if... If it was with girls, there would be no movie. But if there was like, if it was dudes, maybe we can talk about going to see a movie for like 2 hours. But frequently it was just like buy one CD, spend 2.5 hours picking out one CD at Sam Goody and blowing all the money you brought to be like, I got Offspring Smash.
I just remembered my mom wouldn't let me go in the Hot Topic at the Roosevelt Field Mall because I think she thought it was like a kinky sex store. And I have a memory of my fucking Long Island Jew mother saying, you know, there should be a sign outside a Hot Topic that says you're not allowed to go inside and you're under 21 years old. I'm like, I want an Invader Zim shirt. I don't want a harness and a strap on.
That's so fucking funny. Also because of who you ended up being. Maybe she should have let you go in Hot Topic. You'd be like a CPA in somewhere.
They always go like, how did you like get so gross and twisted? And I'm like, literally, my parents used to play this prank on me where like, they're like, during the summer, there would be like a slug infestation in our backyard. They would just be like crawling through the dirt. And one time I stepped on a slug barefoot and it got in between my toes and it was like traumatized. And ever since then, I had a phobia of slugs. And so my parents thought it would be funny to like put slugs in like little Tupperware and like hide it in my room.
Jesus.
I know. And then they always go, why do you make everything so gross? Can't you grow up? Why does everything have to have poop and diarrhea in it? And I'm like, because it's fucking you. You guys were sickos.
Batman, he fell in that well with the bats and that fucked him up where he like, you got stepped on a slug and you were like, I will become the squirm. I will defeat. No slug will ever strike fear in my heart again, for I will be the squirm. I am the one who squirms.
With great squirm comes great
squirmability.
Stupid. I feel like if you come from Long Island, it's such a traumatizing place to grow up that you either evolve the way you did, which is fully the full embrace and the reclamation of the Strong Island, or you run away from it as far and as fast as you can and become unrecognizable to the family and friends you grew up with.
Or it sucks you in and you never and you hang out with the people you went to high school with for the rest of your life.
And then like go
that, and that's go on, a majority of my high school. Yeah. They're all still on Long Island being like, bro, I can't believe you never come back to the island.
Yo,
anymore.
Bro, seriously, we're gonna dude, I can't believe you're not coming back to
we're doing Halloween at the firehouse this year if you wanna come through. Yeah, hold on.
Oh my, dude, the amount of times I've gotten fucked up at a firehouse with volunteer firefighters who were also like moonlighting as lifeguards is they would show up. All the Long Island firefighters are high on weed.
I've definitely gotten underage drunk at multiple firehouses.
I've gotten underage drunk at multiple Merchant Marine academies.
He's just a fucking coming up on Long Island. I mean, here's a question that sometimes rattles other people. Were you part of like the, because Long Island has like, it's very one way. But it's yeah, super.
It's either Jewish or not.
Yeah. Well, it's either Jewish or white, Gentile, or other ethnicities. It's like pockets. And based on like at least from a white family's perspective, it's like the Jews live over there, the blacks live over here, and there's yeah. and there's Puerto Ricans live over here. I mean, it wasn't
and the
until
Jews and the Italians. We can't tell them apart. We're not going to try.
No, it's like it's my the fucking dynamic. It's such a weird. It's like a. It's more like a tossed salad than anything else. It's like, here's where all the tomatoes ended up. Here's where all the cucumbers ended up. Here's where all the blank ended up. But there's still like an energy that no matter where you're from or what your culture is, like Long Island is like as powerful as like the Haitian family that grew up around the block for me, that dude, Felipe, their son is like sounds like me.
Right.
Like, we just that weird Long Island will just turn you into a Long Islander no matter what you come into it as.
The nicest thing anyone has ever said to me was that I think it was like a professor in college, not to brag. A professor in college was like, "Oh, where are you from?" I was like, "Oh, I never say I'm from New York. I say I'm from Long Island. I don't know why." Same. And I was like, "Oh, I'm from Long Island." He goes, "Oh, you mean you're from real New York?" And I was like, "Thank you." Thank you. I say fucking respect.
I've been saying Long Island since like, you know, it's my 51st state. And also Long Island sounds even more like that's like I like when if you're from New York City, no one ever says I'm from New York. You say I'm from the city, I'm from Brooklyn,
right,
I'm from because you want that cred, because New York can mean Buffalo or Rochester or Mastic or you know, whatever, Belmore, any fucking shithole town you could say is New York. Binghamton, that's all New York. It's not the same. It doesn't hit the same as Chelsea, Manhattan.
Dude, I'm from the Empire State. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, good luck. Good luck finding it on a map.
Also, if you're like from New York City, it's like you're like probably a twisted individual. Like, you know what I mean? It's like if you're not regular, you're like the richest person who ever lived. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I found a lot of the city people I raised in the city that I would meet later on in life were either from like a weirdly wealthy stature that like their functioning part of society didn't work for them in that they were like, yeah, I don't like my city experience is not like anything anyone else has done in the city. Then I have some other city friends that are more like middle class blue-collar and they're like, this fucking place, I just want a fucking yard. I need to get the fuck out of the city. But then there are like the other level, the other type of city kids who are like, they managed, but they have that weird thing of like, I've been a mature adult since I was 11.
Dude, like growing up on Long Island, it's like, you know, it was a suburban experience, even though I like kind of grew up on the border of Queens a little bit. So I can't, yeah. You know, I can, you know, a little bit. It's like I didn't only know white people growing up. You know what I mean? I grew up sort of near Queens. So I had like a cool experience growing up. But like all my city friends, we would take like the 819 LIRR from Great Neck Station into Penn Station, go with my city friends to Sushi Samba when we were 16 years old, get taken into a back room where we would do sake bomb. Because they didn't card at Sushi Samba.
Yeah, you're talking to a guy who got drunk with cops and firefighters at bars at Van. I wish I can remember the name of the bar, because eventually I would move to the city and be like, this is the bar we were coming to. Like, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. It was like a Murray Hill bar now that I'm like,
Literally, okay, 16 years old. I'm like, I want to try stand up. I go, I take the 419 or whatever.
What train line did you grow up on? I'm on the Babylon line. The
okay,
South
I was
yeah.
on the I was on the Plandome Road.
Oh,
to Washington line.
The Port Wash, baby.
The Port Wash, not to brag. This train ends at Sands Point, not to brag.
The North Shore Animal League's in Port Washington, which is its claim to fame because all the Gabers family dogs have come from North Shore Animal League.
And how are they?
They've all various levels of fucking twins. I mean, all of them, save one, is dead, obviously.
And God bless, because Long Island has the highest rates of, what is it, like
dog
heart
suicide?
Disease. It's something in the water.
The dogs eat too many bagels. And they're like, fuck it, I'm killing myself, dude.
The dogs are owned by too many cops. They're like, I got to get out of here. This is not right.
Dogs who don't get to become canine cops, they just fall apart on Long Island because all that matters is becoming a Suffolk County cop so you can make $250,000 a year bothering Latinx people calling them MS-13.
In the city, and then you like get to take the, and then you drive back to your home, not where you enforce the law.
Oh yeah, well those people are even like the city cops who live in Nassau County who are like go in there. It's like I go to my gated community in fucking Hewlett, and then go into the city and like go
be
into Bronx
terrorist.
Projects and like scream in English at people who don't speak English to listen to me.
Horrible people, horrible, terrifying. Does this mean anything to you? Stand up. My first time. I'm 16. I'm wearing a bow tie.
This does. This means a lot to me. Sorry, so you're a sushi samba?
Oh, sushi samba. Bear with me. I do my first stand-up set at 16 years old at the Hog Pit, NYC.
Oh, shit.
Is that ring any bells for you?
That does not. I did my first quote-unquote performance of reading some jokes very poorly at a coffee shop on Merrick Road with a friend in like 1999.
What was the like goth Halloween themed coffee shop that was like all the like scenester kids would hang out at?
Oh shit, no, I didn't know this one. I wish I did, because those were the type of girls I wanted to talk to in high school.
That's why you were hanging, you would loiter
outside. That's why I was on
makeoutclub.com
looking. Like, this girl has an intense haircut. I'm falling in love with her.
I wasn't allowed to go on the computer and go on Instant Messenger for a year because we had a webcam incident at my school. So you brought this up earlier. Are you GNS or are you GNN? For the listeners at home, there's Great Neck North and there's Great Neck South. Great Neck North is where a lot of rich kids went. Great Neck South is where also rich kids went, but they were a little less rich. And Great Neck South is where John Taffer went to high school.
The king himself, Bob.
The
rescued.
King himself. Andy Kaufman lived in Great Neck North, but we got a legend John Taffer ourselves. And there was an incident where the girls from Great Neck South got naked on webcam for the popular boys at Great Neck North. And the two high schools had to have assemblies where we talked about proper webcam etiquette and how we're not allowed to get naked for each other.
The amount of assemblies you, like the whole school had to have based on like three sickos from your school doing one thing. Now, and I'm not faulting kids for the sexuality stuff, but one of the things that happened in my school was they were playing Plainview JFK in volleyball. And someone from my high school made a sign that said Plainview Jew FK as like a sign. It's like, it wasn't like
JFK, a famous Catholic, mind you.
Famous Catholic, but the school, I guess, has a high Jewish population. And so we had to have an assembly. It's like, this was just one kid. And I don't even think he thought what he was doing was anti-Semitic. I think
he
was just like, this is the
Jay
nickname for the
for.
High school. Yeah.
And we had to have an assembly because there was a thong epidemic in my high school because all the girls were wearing low-rise sweatpants with
going
the thongs.
Going for whale tail.
And we had to have an assembly about how it was inappropriate.
That shit was just starting when I was in high school. I feel like you started seeing girls' visible bras. I was talking about, like, the colored bras through shirts. Uh-huh, and then, like, uh-huh, uh-huh. like specifically wearing pants and sitting forward in class so that your underwear showed. Like, that shit started popping off in like 99, 2000. But I feel like it got, high school got even better or worse, depending on your perspective of who you are.
I guess I can't. I mean, imagine being in, I mean, now I sound, what am I, I sound 100. Yeah, imagine being in high school now where everyone's like on the internet. Like, I would literally commit full murder suicide if I was in high school today.
I would have been canceled before I graduated high school. Like, I truly, it would have been like, you can't become a comedian and a podcaster because you're the kid who jerked off for what you thought was a female porn star when you were 16 years old, but it was the bully of yours in high school, and now everyone has watched you fucking jerk off on camera and you're fucked for life. Like, that,
right?
Thank God. I mean, that probably would have that did happen to me, but I was 25, so I was more comfortable with myself.
I mean, imagine you had like Snapchat at the same time you found out about Meat Spin. You know what I mean?
No, it would have been these buzzwords. When someone's unearthed this episode 20 years from now, they're like, what is Meat Spin? Well, don't Google it. Or do Google it, depending on your taste.
I mean, at this point, it's like there's so much worse stuff to look at.
There is. It's so funny that like that shit doesn't even work anymore of like the, you want to check out a cool URL? Go to sarahsquirm.net. And you're like, oh, what is this? You're like, got you. You looking at something fucked up. And it's like, now life is so much more fucked up than ever before. It doesn't even matter. Someone's like, please let me look at three old men sucking each other off. Like, I'll kill for a lemon party over the anti-vax fucking protest happening outside my window.
Right, like you could grow up watching, we grew up watching Lemon Party, and now kids are growing up watching ISIS beheading videos or whatever. Meanwhile, kids these entire days. Time, by the way, I'm holding my headphone jack into the port.
We have to talk about, again, just your setup. You do the Gino podcast all the time. It's your first time doing High and Mighty. The audio matters less on this one, but you're like, I got you. I'm setting up a good mic. And then I turn it on and you're like facing in a different direction. You're like a head in a jar. And it's just so funny because you're like, and if you, I was like, well, click on this. You're like, if I told you what I was looking, you said, I couldn't even articulate to you what I'm looking at in here. No, you don't have to fix your head. Now I feel guilty now.
Sarah's no, I'm standing literally up. I'm literally trying to orient my body in a way that makes every time I interrupt you, it's because the headphone jack isn't working. So it's not because I'm rude. It's because I'm not holding in the headphone jack properly. And for the listeners at home, I'm looking at four monitors because, again, I am using a gaming PC, mind you. And I'm looking at a Discord chat that isn't, not to brag, I do have an art studio and I'm using my studio mate's computer. And right now I'm looking at his Discord chat about when him and a bunch of teenagers are going to play Overwatch. Something I don't understand.
Yeah, there's someone here named Uncle Gabrus 69 inviting everyone over for snacks to play Overwatch. And I'll be a medic.
For the listeners at home, yeah, his name in the Zoom chat is Gabrus.
I mean, I had to talk about Long Island. I had to fucking harness that name for power because I was called Gay Boy by my high school football coach, who was also a history teacher. So, and I played football for 4 years, I was called Gay Boy all through high school by teachers. And I never was really even homophobic, but it was like the 90s and being called gay was like, I understand my difficulties with women, but I am not gay. Like, I fought it so much that eventually I was just like, fuck it. I'm fine. I'm gay. Whatever. Like,
my boyfriend, I've been dating him for 8 years. He's a Midwestern Catholic angel sent from heaven.
Hell
he
yeah.
He doesn't understand why I'm so mean. I'm like, you don't understand. He's like, why are you unreasonably cruel to strangers and everyone around you? And I'm like, the grown-ups who raised me as a child were basically the most brutal, cruel Jews I have ever. We had a gym coach who on Fridays, he called them casual Fridays. We didn't have to get dressed in our gym uniforms or anything. And we got to wear jeans because we would sit in the gym and he would show us blueprints for the new house he's building because his wife, his bitch wife left him. And now he gets all the high schoolers to sit in a circle around him in jeans and give him advice about, well, I'm trying to put a new bathroom out on the north side of my house because my bitch wife is leaving. So I got to build a new house out in Hillhurst.
I fucking love that shit. Dude, it's... You're describing something that's so real. I was trying to describe to someone, I was like, from my childhood on, I had like the sense of humor of like a union break room at like a construction site. Like that was like the level of humor that people were doing to me and I was doing to other people from like 6 years old on. At like 6 years old, I was saying raunchy ass, racially charged fucking jokes to like to my family who are fucking loving it.
Yes.
And like, talking to me like, look at this piece of fucking garbage walking down the fucking street. Jonathan, don't you have a turnout like a fucking piece of shit like this motherfucker here? Hey, how's it going, Mike? You know, like, what the fuck?
It's like ball busting as a form of like of affection is it really cannot be underestimated. Just like, I wiped your ass for 25 fucking years, you piece of shit. I spent $30,000 on your college education wiping your dumb little fucking ass, looking like a wet rat with that stupid fucking haircut, you piece of shit. I fucking love you. You're my fucking daughter. You're my fucking daughter.
I'll fucking kill for you. I have before and I will again. Okay. No one has to do that, Pop. I feel so at home talking about this, but I feel like things are moving away from that culturally a little bit, where my energy, I'm frequently like, oh yeah, all right, yeah, that's a fucking sick idea. And someone's like, hey man, like my wife's like, I don't think everyone kind of knows like that, like, you know, like don't talk to my work friends the way you talk to right. Like,
when I met my boyfriend's parents, like I didn't even realize how much I was like cursing, I guess, like you know, because I'm, you know, like, this fucking motherfucker, you know, whatever. I didn't even realize it until he was kind of like nudging me when I first met them. And I'll never forget. This doesn't even sound real. This sounds made up, but I swear my life, my little brother, I have a brother who's like 5 years younger than me. And when my brother was like, I don't know, he was a little kid, he told me that he was like, I thought, dad said the word pussy so much, I thought it was a vegetable. Come on, like at Yankee games, like, come on, Queen Omar, queen is you, girl, you fucking pussy. Yeah. Let's knock that out of the park.
My dad was a Yankees fan, too. Mariano Rivera, Johnny, one of the best fucking closers in the fucking game. You know, he comes from nothing. These Dominican guys, they come from nothing, and they come to this country, and they fucking dominate a sport. It's like, dude. They're like, I'm like, I feel like... I don't want you to tell this story at work, Dad, but like, you know, it's like, I think you mean well here, but just don't ever tell this story in front of anyone.
Yeah, we don't endorse this. This isn't good. I've tried to change these people. It's not working, okay? No,
it has not worked. That is
anyone from Long Island is, they cannot be rehabilitated. They need to stay. It's on an island and the bridge should be closed. The tunnel should be blown up.
Someone should blow the fucking... Belt Parkway.
Keep them on. Turn it into abolish prisons, but turn Long Island into an Escape from New York prison island.
With some of the most beautiful beaches on the East Coast, but out of Robert Moses Prison Field 5, get a fucking surf in. Go to the pencil.
My dad. You know what it is? It's. I think that everyone has. I think everyone on Long Island has a poor sense of judgment because they all only read the New York Post.
We were a Newsday house too.
Oh, okay.
The Long Island News. And that's probably gone. That's probably now just like propaganda. That's
right. I'll never forget like all the like during the like Anthony Weiner situation, just like the cover of like every like New York Post headline would be like, the stocks are going down just like a hooker's tights. Yeah. Oh my
They're
God.
Always super, super misogynistically charged. Like, this dumb cunt fucked it up again. It's like, Jesus, New York Post, how can you post this?
It's literally how Sunday morning.
Look at this dumpy cunt doing it again. Whoa, that's Hillary Clinton, you sicko.
I will go back into the New York Post archives and like just read. I'll never forget this one. This was from like the 70s or something. It was "Headless body found in a topless bar." Some like serial killer chopped off someone's head at a strip club.
But they just love the pun of like the irony of topless bar is now newest home to headless body.
Yeah, perfect. Great. That's and honey, that's the news.
And that's life here on Long Island. Oh, it's giving me the feels, F-E-A-L-S, as in premium CBD that you can have delivered directly to your doorstep. Okay, I'm a feels head. You've heard me talk about it here before. A few drops of feels under your tongue, you could feel the difference within minutes. It naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. I have CBD in the morning with my coffee, not in my coffee, but a little couple of drops under the tongue. Went while I'm making my coffee, and then before bed, I'll have a mixture of tincture, but also I enjoy feels big dose of CBD before bed to help me unwind without any of the psychoactive effects or hangover or addiction. So for me, it really helps with going to sleep at night, makes me feel better. So if you're not sure like what even CBD does or how to use it or how to best utilize, how to get help, the most help from it, Feels offers a CBD hotline because you're joining a monthly membership. So it makes your self-care easy, save money on every order, you pause or cancel. You have someone you can call to ask questions about. And if you want to start feeling better with Feels, become a member today by going to feels.com/mighty. And you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/mighty. To become a member, get 50% off, automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feals.com/mighty. Half off and free shipping. We've briefly touched on it, but this is something that seems like very topical now because Long Island is in New York State. It's not far from New York City, one of the most progressive, maybe one of the biggest international cities ever. And yet Long Island is, and especially the further you go away from the city, it gets redder and redder to the point where in like Suffolk County voted more for Trump than like any other county. And that's just, it's so insane because what brings that? It's truly, and I can't explain it, but something that I've been talking about with other Long Island people is like, there's this cop worship because it's like the blue collar ideal job. Mm-hmm. And Long Island is full of people who are blue collar or who have been cosplaying as blue collar for 40 years.
Because like being a cop is even blue collar. Like you're making a shit ton of money.
No, and you have to go to college for it. It's not like a fucking, like, you know, you have to have some means to get there. Especially in Suffolk County, they started like, I remember every single kid I knew, their parents, every one of us like dead end kids in like 17 and 18, everyone's parents are like, you might want to take the cop test. Just get your name in the list. take the firefighters test, take the cop test, not the city cop test. I don't want you going to the city with all those animals. You got to do the Suffolk County cop test. They pay the best. They're like the highest paid police force in America.
It's so, and then it's like you're getting all the like Suffolk County and Nassau County cops. And then, like we were saying before, you're getting all the New York City cops living on Long Island.
Yes.
And then, you know, cops are just like incestuous. So, like, generations of families will become cops.
And also, then, like, then they're lauded within the family. If you have an uncle that's a cop, that uncle that's a cop got you a PBA card that got you out of a ticket. So you like worship that uncle. All cops aren't that bad. And so it's like, it just keeps pulling out like that. And there's like this, right. It is like whatever the, you know, lower middle class white, like getting a basketball contract, you know what I mean? Like brings you out. It's like, dude, I'm a cop now and things have changed. And it's like, I want to be a cop. And people who aren't, how many people do you know from your, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place, but how many people do you know from your high school or from Long Island that are like, you know, like failed out of the cop test like three different times and is now like, I'm a security guard with my gun license in the meantime until I can be. I had a friend who was like a racist kind of like meathead guy, like become a cop And then it's like, oh, that makes, and he's like, guess who else is a cop? And when he listed the other people that were cops, I was like, I realized in the middle of that I had to like change the story because I think that the dude listened. So I was just like, so many racist people I know became cops and now they're all listening.
Should be, because guess what, you guys gotta, hey, all the cops listening, you guys gotta stop with this stuff. We need a new situation going on. You
yeah,
guys
just fucking,
you guys saw 9/11 happen, you went insane, you guys got obsessed with it.
I understand it was fucking brutal, and Long Island people, I knew people on Long Island who never even been to the city before 9/11 who are like, how dare they do this to us. It's like, bro, you've never been in downtown Manhattan.
Dude, but I smelled the smoke, that was the thing. I'll never forget the clouds. Clouds and the smog traveled to the island. I saw it. I was there.
I was practically there in the second tower. Everyone's a fucking Long Island Ren Azizi pretending.
Dude, I'll never forget the New York Times cover the next day was an American flag, and we all cut out the first page of the New York Times the next day, and we all hung it up in the windows. The next day, you're driving around Long Island, you see the American flags from the cover of the New York Times lining the blocks.
That's awesome.
I also think that, well, I mean, there's like, okay, I think Long Island's really Republican and racist because of like all the cop phenomenon. And then we also have a bunch of rich people. And then also like
pretty much OG redlining town.
Oh,
too.
Yes. Yes. And like I grew up in like heavy Zionist Jewish Long Island. So they're like, dude, yo, bro, I mean, we hate Trump. He's horrible. He's terrible. But he loves Israel. It's like, what kind of whiplash? Yeah. What kind of bargaining are you doing with yourself?
It is funny because like you learn about like Levittown in school, and it's like, it's a place where all the soldiers were able to move after the war, and it was like established as a, and then you hear about it, it's like, and black people were not given any loans. It's like, okay. That part was left out of the Levittown history of like,
right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Why there's this, we have this island that is off the city, yet it's still so pocketed in like, it's so it's diverse, but not, no town is diverse. It's
right.
Like, it goes, oh, like you drive from a white town to a Spanish town to a Jewish town to an Irish town to it, like it's just like they people just stayed there.
It's so segregated, because, and then like all the like all of your like, I am in trouble with my family because like I'm the only person to like, you know, first of all, you leave Long Island. That's like, you're betraying your mother. You're betraying your father. You're betraying your grandmother, whatever. I moved out of New York. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
the shame I bring on my family.
I'm the first and only person in my family for like, I don't know how many generations to like, I've moved the furthest away. And that was true when I moved to Brooklyn. Like, when I moved to Brooklyn, my whole family was like, I can't believe it, we'll never see the guy again. I moved to Los Angeles and I see them as much.
Yeah, right. I think because Jews on Long Island, it's like, it's known that when they reach 70 years of age, they will move to Boca. So yeah, there is a spirit of travel, but I pushed it
there. And the Jewish stereotypes for the older generations too, like you're talking about the Boca house and stuff, those seem to, and I'm wading into dangerous territory as an atheist boy
on,
here.
Come on.
But what else do I know? But I found like frequently on Long Island too, the sort of Jewish stereotypes to be aspirational for the goys too.
Absolutely.
Like my mom used to talk about Jewish people like they were the X-Men. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was definitely, it's hard to call it anti-Semitic because it was so
pro.
It's so, but it was so pro-Semitic that it was like weirdly offensive again. Where
dude,
it was like,
you should,
the Jews are very smart with this kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're like, no. It's like, we should be more like the, like your friend, the Kriegers, we should be more like them. The Kolsteins,
we got to be more like the Kolsteins. Because you got to marry into the Krieger family because, you know, Alexa Krieger, she's a dermatologist out in Fort Washington.
This is
and
the
her
most
father runs a very respectable real estate business down in Little Neck, and he flips condos.
That's part of it, too. You're just in that, because I was about to say, it's a huge Long Island cultural thing to be like, my mom's friend got me my car. My mom's friend got me my first job. My dad's friend got me out of this ticket. My uncle's friend got me this apartment. Like, it's so many connections. And I think it's because Long Island, like, pretends to be a small town. Like, it prides itself on the small town energy. So it is the kind of shit you're saying, like, everybody knows everybody's business. Jonathan, guess what? Didn't you go to school with this one? Yeah. Well, they died.
Yeah,
holy shit.
Right.
How? Overdose. Got to be careful. Yeah. Okay. Well, they're 39. I haven't seen them since I was 11. Like, I definitely, I have not heard that name until you told me that they are dead.
I'm realizing now with my adult brain reflecting on my childhood, it's like, oh, like Jenny's dad suddenly died in a bathtub at noon on a Sunday while her parents were conveniently out of town and the grandparents were in construction and dad was in construction. All of a sudden, I'm like, a perfectly healthy guy all of a sudden falls down in a shower between construction jobs. Yeah. Like, hello.
So much shit like that. I unpacked so much shit like as an adult where I was like, oh yeah, that was like marijuana ash in the toilet. Oh yeah, they were doing coke at that party. Like, right. I now remember a visual of seeing my dad do cocaine. Okay, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize all my dad's friends were in the mafia.
My dad's friend, my mom's side of the family is all old school Italian, and like my mom is like third generation long. So like that whole side of the family is like all union jobs in and around Manhattan in the most like,
God bless.
And I'm going to do something that my pop used to do at dinner when he'd go.
Oh my God. Did I lose you?
I think I'm frozen or you're frozen. We're all frozen.
He's frozen. He's frozen. Wait, you're unfrozen.
I'm back, baby. I'm back now.
You said old school Italian.
Are you still frozen? Oh yeah. Yeah. So my mom's side of the family is old school Italian. And we used to do this thing where my grandpa would hold his nose like this whenever he talked about someone that was in the family or connected. He's like, well, Bruno got me the job as the union elevator operator. You know, well, Bruno's got friends down there, you know, like, and I never put it together what they were talking about. But it was like my dad, when he wanted to marry my mom, had like waist length hair and was a high school dropout. And my mom's dad, Jimmy V, said, cut your hair, get a GED. I'll get you a union job. Then you could propose to my daughter. And my dad did all of that. And it's like in the most mafia Italian, like gave my dad a fucking union job as a stagehand in New York City. And immediately my dad had a career for life. Just an absolute
God
deadbeat
was.
Just wanting to get married.
Yeah. And you know, and go.
No, you go.
I was going to say my mom's a GED teacher. My mom.
Is she really?
Yeah, she teaches. She worked in the basement of the Marriott Hotel. The what's it called? God, wait. The LaGuardia Airport Marriott Hotel. She worked in the basement running a GED program. Half the day you go to school learning how to do the GED. Half the day it's vocational training. You learn how to get a job at a hotel. That's Long Island for you. Get your GED and you're chilling.
It is that energy on like, don't you feel like 50% of the people you know from the island are like doing some job that is scam adjacent or is earning money in something that is like the amount of people in my family that are like, well,
criminals.
I can't actually have a photo. I can't have a picture of me working. Like, I'm collecting disability from the city from stepping in a pothole 8 years ago or whatever. Like, the amount of my people in my family were like, whoa. You can't post that video of me dancing. I'm supposed to be in a wheelchair, according to Nassau County Health Department. You
know? The amount of my friends where I'm like, okay, like, but what kind of lawyer is your dad? And they're like, well, I don't know. Yeah.
I definitely have a bunch of I work in computers. Where? Out in Farmingdale. And how much you make a year? He's like 450 grand. Like, what? How are you making 400 grand a year working in computers and you not explaining anymore?
Oh, your dad spends 6 months out of the year in Bali? Okay, sure. All right, no problem. The amount of the amount of my classmates whose dads fully had second families.
It's such a fucking weird, town full of everyone thinking they're pulling a fucking heist of the century.
Wait, did I just cut out? God damn it.
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, sorry. I'm holding the headphone jack into the thing. I know this already that I used to take the LIRR to UCB to watch ASCAT.
Shit. I think we talked about this.
Yeah. To see shining star John Gabrus and ASCAT.
You got a Long Island Sun himself doing ASCAT. That's so rad to hear because I used to ride the Long Island Railroad to take my level one improv class.
And I guess he's the Voldemort. I can't really say his name, but you know, never forget. You could bleep this out. Aaron Glazer would take the LIRR train to come to my house on Long Island to teach a bunch of high school kids improv.
Oh shit! Fucking way! Holy shit! Bullet dodged. Hopefully.
We would have an adult man who would do improv in Manhattan would take a train to Long Island to teach a bunch of high school girls how to do improv and didn't want to be paid. And we never thought anything of it. And then, you know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. The more you know.
I had no idea about that detail. Oh man.
I never told you that. Is that
good? That's such a fucking landslide. That's like you were in the Capturing the Freedmen.
Capturing the Freedmen on Steamboat Road.
I know. Another fuck, dude. The shit that Long Island like that pierces pop culture from Long Island is so funny. It's like Joey Buttafuoco,
famous pedophiles,
Lindsay Lohan, yeah, major pedophiles,
Billy Joel,
alcoholics, yeah, legendary
guy who drives around the Hamptons blackout drunk into the swimming pool.
I think we did a bit on Gino where he talked about how, like, there's a bar in the Hamptons that has an upside down Mercedes with the tires going out front, and that's Billy Joel's parking spot. Just fully running.
I was trying to think. I'm like, oh my God, do I have therapy today? My therapist is like calling me as if I have my therapy appointment right now.
Uh oh. I'll tell her you already got it. You're already unpacking all your Long Island shit.
I'm exercising my demons as we friggin' speak right now. Is this a Gino Lombardo joke or is it because whenever I'm like writing stand up, I'm like, the only thing that's funny is Long Island people to me. And I'm like, I can't remember. Gino is so real to me that I can't remember if it was if I'm thinking of something like someone I know from Long Island said or if I'm thinking of something that Gino Lombardo said.
Well, if Gino Lombardo said it, it's a good chance he got it from someone saying it on Long Island too.
In my head, I have a very clear voice of someone from Long Island saying, my brother's mother's rabbi's sons, pharmacists, brothers, sisters, daughters-in-laws. And then that's that for 5 minutes.
I mean, that is a Gino thing, I think, because it's an actual Long Island thing.
Right.
I know it has probably a more apt name, but we used to call that Jewish geography on Long Island, where you'd be like, oh, you're from Great Neck North? What year did you graduate? Do you know? And then just rattle off. And then you go, oh, yeah, I went to camp with that. Oh, yeah, I went to that. And you just keep and you don't have to have a real conversation. You just fire off how you two are connected. And then you're like, great meeting you. See you around.
All of a sudden, like at the end of it, it's Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, cousin used to do tile work in the bathroom of Napoli Pizza on the weekends when Robbie's daughter-in-law's plumber's sister's friend's husband's rabbi. And then all of a sudden we're at Jeffrey Epstein.
So they used to go on this plane, right? Pop in here to the airport down by the cemetery, Farmingdale Airport, pick up a couple of rich people and go to this temple, this island temple. I don't know what they're doing down there, but they got Dershowitz and...
He's Gates, gotta be a
Billy Gates
legend.
Getting in some hot water with Melinda.
Yo, bro.
In the article, it says something to the effect of like, and Melinda's always had a little bit of an issue with his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, considering it started after Epstein was convicted of sex crimes.
8 years ago.
Yeah, people are like, she's just out there going like, yeah, Bill's still friends with this motherfucker. Now he won't unpack the patent. Like, he's out. He's toast.
She knew, meanwhile. Come on.
For fuck's sake, of course.
These freaking people. Well, were you going to tell me that Ralph's Italian Ice is a front for something?
I always thought it was because it never did enough business. And it's so seasonal. But there was like... 3 in every town. Like, I just don't understand how they were paying rent and making, because if you did 10 a day, which I don't think half of these places did, that's still only processing like $20.
Right. And some of them, you get the small, like, junior squeeze cup it's like, size.
It's like a fucking dentist Listerine cup with one fucking teaspoon of yellow water in it called lemon. And it's like 80 cents. And you and three friends go in there and take 40 minutes to buy it, see no other business whatsoever. And then that place is open year round. And there's Luigi's, there's Mario's, there's Tony's, there's Vinny's. There's like, it's gotta be some sort of insurance scam or some fucking scam.
I can't think of any restaurant on Long Island that isn't a front for some heinous crime.
Do you have, here's a good question for you. Do you have a Long Island restaurant that you, my wife is just shutting the door. It's like, all right, now he's screaming about Butera's on Sunrise Highway. Yeah. Do you have a favorite Long Island restaurant that, like, when you finally do get to go back east, you're going to make sure you hit up?
So to everybody listening right now, we need to be supporting Napoli Pizza on Northern Boulevard. It is where I was raised. The pizza's not good. There's too much powerful oregano for some reason to make up for whatever is wrong with the other ingredients. And it is run by the love of my life, a man named Coop. Don't know his last name. Don't know his real name. Don't know his first name either. I tried to work there my entire life. It was down the street from my house. And I could never get a, he would never let me work there because I think I believe that there were some registered sex offenders working there. Because I tried to apply for a job just folding the pizza boxes and he wouldn't let me. And when I was a baby, my parents used to bring me to the pizza place and there was a lemon tree hair salon next door.
Oh,
so
shit,
Napoli would take, you know, Coop.
We had a lemon tree next to, we had a lemon tree next to Mama Gina's, which was the cheapest pie you can get in North Belmore, which was also next to Pal Joey's, the only gay bar I have ever seen on Long Island.
And God bless.
Soaped over windows. That's like that. Just like so 1990s Long Island felt like a fucking movie you watch about like a trailer park in the 70s now.
You know what we had, by the way, which I think is illegal? We had a teen club called Club LOL.
We had 18 to party, 21 to drink, 18 to swim, 21 to go under and shit like that. But you could just get, some 21-year-old would just get you booze or some other 18-year-old with a better fake ID.
What? It has to be illegal. It's also sex trafficking and children, basically.
It's so dangerously, because I was going at like 15, pretending
too.
To be 18, and then there's 18-year-olds pretending to be 21, and they're buying booze. Like, so 18-year-olds are giving booze to 15-year-olds. This is here's something I say about my childhood on Long Island that everyone it always blows their mind. I'm like, I was drinking Friday and Saturday nights every weekend starting in ninth grade, and I was drinking at Bas mitzvahs. In junior high.
Yeah.
I was stealing Citrone and getting blacked out as a junior high kid. And multiple of my friends had the same experience.
Literally Club LOL happened. It was like a, what's it called? Those like kids play gyms that have like, ball pits and stuff.
Yeah, shit like Discovery Zone and shit like that. Yeah.
It was with like slides and, you know, weird nets that you jump into. That place during the day was for children. And then at night they turned on the black light. Everything went neon. They put in the disco ball and it was Club LOL.
That's fucking awesome.
So it's just too... you know what I mean? That's why you're getting fucked up every weekend, because there's no boundaries. The children's playpen was the Club LOL.
We would just stand in a school parking lot, or a park, every weekend night, no matter how. And it was just like, hopefully we can get beer tonight. Hopefully we can get a lot. Hopefully we can get fucked up. Hopefully we can talk to girls. And we would frequently get the beer, we would frequently get enough, and we would frequently get fucked up. But that's kind of where it would all stop.
Yeah. One night we were like, you know what? It's not drunk driving. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not drunk driving if the car isn't on.
So you just shutting it off while driving?
Pushed the car in neutral, got in the car, and then someone was pushing the Chevy Tahoe down the hill.
That's we used to have a rule that if you were driving drunk, you have to turn and lean out the window and go, I'm gonna live forever before you pulled out. Just in case you did die in the car accident, would have been hysterical.
There, my high school also, I mean, I wasn't like totally popular in high school. Oh, no Squirm's way. Prize.
Sarah Squirm.
Actually, that my nickname Sarah Squirm came from high school. Like you were saying, like your football coach had a nickname for you. Everyone on the track team was so ugly and I was just disgusting. So they would call me Squirm and Sherman. And that was my nickname all throughout high school because I was just ugly and weird.
Well, now look at you. You're beautiful and fucking weird. Yeah, it worked out great.
Yeah, that's why they call me.
The goose became a weirder goose.
But no one ever, I always like fantasize. I was like, maybe one day when I become a comedian, all these people come out of the woodwork from high school and be like, I always had a crush on you. Nothing, none of that fantasy I made up in my head. I was Squirm and Sherman because they were disgusted by me.
I was popular. Everyone knew who I was because I was acting like this since I was like 14. People didn't like me. Hated me, but everyone in school knew who I was, including every teacher, because I talked to every teacher like they were my friend. I just talked like this in class while the other teacher was trying to teach. I'm so narcissistic that I was like this high school. Yeah. I was aiming for it from like ninth grade on.
did you guys have like the, I forget what it was called, like road rules where like all the seniors would do like death defying stunts in a scavenger hunt. And like,
we had a bunch of senior week stuff, like senior prank, senior cut day and stuff like that, but not road rules. That's
it was called like road rules or something. And it's like, you get 20 points if you give a blow job behind the Hess gas station and like a 30 points if you got a road rules tattoo. And like, the debauchery is like, I mean, maybe it comes from like you were saying this, like heavy, like cop reinforcement where it's like, yeah, all those kids who are doing these like white Jews doing crimes on the road had the pass in their car from their uncle's son's brother-in-law, sister-in-law.
And you don't want to give up that power. And the best way to keep that power and get 90 grand a year until you retire at 43. You only got to do 20 years. Okay, cool.
I'll never forget. My dad gets pulled over, like speeding around some golf course. I don't know where he was. And he goes, officer, officer, I wasn't speeding. I was accelerating.
We used to abuse being Jones Beach lifeguards and go like 100 miles an hour down the Ocean Parkway because cops were not down there, only park patrol. And park patrol would just know that we had like the whistle hanging from the rearview mirror. So you just had to respect it and be like going. I mean, that's where everyone takes their car when they first get their license, too, is you go down to Ocean Parkway because you can go like 100 miles an hour at night and no one is there. I mean, you could kill a fucking deer and no one would know.
Oh, we have to respect our troops, our boys in red, our lifeguards over here.
Yeah, hey, don't you ever forget, man. You know, we're always on duty since 9/11. I've been keeping an eye on this ocean.
Literally,
soon as 9/11 happened, I signed up for the Jones Beach Lifeguard Corps.
No, being a beach lifeguard is no joke.
Thank you. That's all I'm ever asking for people to say to me.
Literally, you have to run 25 miles in the sand, go get a brick from the bottom of a completely sludged black ocean.
It is physically demanding in a way that makes you feel like you have a real job. And at 17, you're like, I'm truly something special. And that really helped my ego blossom as I went away to college too.
Was a lifeguard for 5 years, never saved anyone. In fact, someone almost drowned on my watch.
Where'd you work?
Lake Success Pool. Again, another Long Island thing. A town called Lake Success. Get over it. It's a little much.
Honey. I was a pool lifeguard before I became a beach lifeguard for Forest City Pools in town of Hempstead. I was a TOH guard for a while.
What is that? Then I also
town of Hempstead. It's just a different jurisdiction. All right, it's just like a little 5 pound thing. It's like you get a yellow shirt. And then I worked at Hofstra University as a indoor lifeguard.
Wait, what's over there? What's near Hofstra, Senor Frogs?
They're all. No, not Senor Frogs, but maybe it is now Senor Frogs. But it was Monterey's, Krebets, and before it was Krebets, it was Bogart's. These are all the bars that were over there. The Hofstra bars.
Dude, never forget, you go to a Hofstra basement DIY show to see some Long Island hardcore bands play. Maybe Take It Back Sunday.
See TBS or Jawbreaker or Movie Life. Go see the Movie Life in a basement and then go to fucking Monterey's after.
And dude, Blue Oyster Cult is not actually from Long Island. They're from a different kind of island or something like that. Where are they from?
I bartended at a Hofstra bar called McHeeb's, owned by one Irish guy and one Jewish guy, so it's why they called it McHeeb's. But yeah, how fucked up is that? They just like, hey, thought it was funny. I was like, okay. I was a bartender there for like 3 summers.
You fucking probably saw how many people get all their teeth knocked out.
I saw a lot of people get their teeth knocked out. I saw a lot of people do the plan A before a plan B. And I saw a lot. I got... Working at a trashy college bar like that where everyone is 17 to 23, I know so much about body language. I can tell when people are going to fight or fuck from like 100 meters away. Just on like energy and like and stances, I could be like, okay, those two are going to fuck. That guy's going to deck that dude. This guy is going to pull a gun on someone. I could just tell.
I'm sweating, thinking about the worst nights of my life have happened in places like that.
Yep, same.
The violence, whether it expresses itself or lies dormant, cannot be underestimated.
Sarah, thank you so much for doing High and Mighty. This was
a
blast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad. I met you or learned about you through Brad and Nick, who are the funniest. And they were like, oh, do you not know Sarah Squirm? She's from Long Island. And I was like, well, I got to meet. And I found you're funny. You're so fucking funny and so a singular voice. It's so dope that you did the Geno show. Check her out in season 2 and season 3.
Come on.
Fucking Robert DiGiovanni is going to be there for the Bas Mitzvahs. But thank you so much for doing High and Mighty too. Where can fucking people find you? And you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah. You know what I want to fucking plug, motherfucker? You kidding me? Want to know what I want to plug? I made a short. It came out a couple days ago. It's called Sarah Vaccine. You can find it on means.tv. Okay. A lot of people seem to be not be watching it.
I watched it. I said, I watched it. I fucking enjoyed it. It's fucking it inspired me to, I got the vaccine already, inspired me to get more vaccines. I'm going to get more.
That's good. That's actually good. You should get at least 12 or 18. How many people do you think got vaccinated on Long Island? 12%.
Yeah. It was anyone whose jobs required it. It's like, oh, fuck. Like, I know my whole family got it, but they're all, like, teachers and nurses and stuff.
Right,
so, like,
right. God bless.
No hard anti-vaxxers in that crew.
Guess what? My headphones aren't working. Can you hear me?
That's perfect. I can hear you.
God damn it.
Well, just continue your plugs. You got this. I can hear you now.
Yeah, okay. Again, for the listeners at home, I'm holding my headphone jack into the port because it doesn't work. Please watch Sarah Vaccine on Means TV. I don't know what, do I have to get down on my hands and fucking knees and beg all of you, every single one of you to watch it? I'll do it. I don't care. I'll pay you to watch it. And you can also find me online at Sarah Squirm on all the webs, every, you know, we're all over the internet, and I'll be on at Sarah Squirm telling you to please watch the short, or else it's going to be a big fucking waste of money.
Means TV is all about trying to make the money. We know that. It's in their lifeblood.
Thanks for asking. What's Means TV? Well, it's a worker-owned and operated lefty streaming service.
Yes, check it out. I follow them on Twitter. Wonderful morning news and wonderful vaccine specials.
Thank you so much for coming on my podcast, John Gabris. You can find my podcast, Hi, I'm Heidi, on all podcasting, wherever you find your podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, Stitcher Premium, Apple Podcasts.
Wherever you can find a podcast, you can seek me out. Just search deep inside oneself and find that podcast, and I'll be there talking. This has been Sarah Squirm. Squirm out. Dear Diary, love, Sarah Squirm. That's how you end all your podcasts.
Dear Diary, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I wrote all that. That's fucked up. You had to hear this, but unfortunately, I lived it. Love, Gabris.
Dear Diary, I got this diary at the Scholastic Book Fair at my school. Yeah.
I got this in a poster that just says Lamborghini with a picture of a car. I got this in a F-15 Tomcat fighter jet poster for the $6 my mom let me have that day.
I lied on my reading list and said I read 25 books just so I would get the fuzzy pen.
Now I have the fuzzy pen and I can't write. I don't know letters. Everyone's on to me.
But dude, my mom got me a spy kit for Hanukkah and now I got a black light. I'm using it in my little brother's room. I'm finding some weird stuff.
So many stains everywhere. Bye, shitheads. I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold. Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room with them.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I'm Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!